And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. And good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Today is, well, it's the 3 months to Christmas Eve special, the 24th of September. Would you believe that? That is a bit scary. And hats off to all the regional Victorians for the amazing job you've done in getting those numbers down. And those of us that are sitting in what we call metropolitan Melbourne, we're very envious. And, well, we're just hanging out for Sunday or something. I hope you and your family and your friends are all coping okay with the challenges of the current pandemic. It's certainly pretty tough, isn't it? A big shout out to our regular listeners, to Bob and Kath and Charles and Susie and Rebecca and Bendigo and all of you who might be tuning in this morning for the first time. We love new listeners. So thank you for joining us. And, well, it's going to be a really interesting program this morning. So let's, before I tell you anything much about our guest, let's say hello to her first. And then we'll see what we can find out, because this person has just moved to the Yarra Valley only a little over a month ago. And welcome, Deb, via Zoom. Wonderful to have your company this morning.
Thank you, Bruce. It's lovely to be here.
Fantastic. And it's Deb Kotick. I hope I pronounced that name correctly, Deb.
Yes, you have. Thank you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And Deb has, as I've just said, just moved here from the inner suburbs. And it's wonderful to have you here in the valley, Deb. And I was just sort of reflecting on moving even. And I read somewhere that the average Australian moves about every 7 years. And I don't know about you, but the longer you stay in a place, the harder it is to move. And I thought it'd be a good place to start. Is it a stressful thing moving house and up stumps and heading to another place? Is it still a bit stressful?
It's very stressful, Bruce, especially when you've been in a house for 16 years and you tend to be a bit of a hoarder. And you have a lot of parents-in-laws hand-me-down things that you hang on to for sentimental value. And I went into places where I found so much dust and found so many things I didn't know I have. And where I've moved to, I mean, I lived across the road from a high school, so I lived in the middle of metropolitan Melbourne suburbia. I was very glad to leave it. And I moved here to a property which has steep access, stairs to get up to the house, and the removalist van took out the side, a bit of an embankment getting up here. And by the end of all the boxes of books that they brought up, they were very unhappy. So, it was huge.
It sounds like you've got a lot of books like me, Deb.
Yeah, I do. I love books. And I do tend to, I did get rid of, I think, one box of books, but I still brought about 30 to 40 with me. So,
there you go. And yes.
Everything's lovely and clean now, so it's nice.
Fantastic. I'm sure there are a few of us who would like to be moving at the moment, because it would allow us to be more than 5 kilometres from home or something. So that kind of move would be good. But house moving is certainly not much fun at all. So Deb, I've done a little bit of research on your name, and according to, well, things internet, you know, there's 426 Kotics in the whole world at the moment, 426 of you, 19 Kotics in Australia. So there you go. And the research says that the vast majority of those people are in, not surprisingly, I'll let you finish the sentence.
Melbourne, probably, or Victoria.
Oh, no, I was thinking worldwide.
Germany or Czechoslovakia, I would imagine.
That's exactly right. Germany and the Czech Republic. And I'm assuming, therefore, that that's the origins of the name. Is that right?
Yes, that is. And please remember, this is my husband's name, not my name.
Hello to you, Jerry, if you're listening.
And it actually means little cat, I believe. The actual word.
Wow, I did not know that. Now I'm going to keep you in suspense for a moment, listeners, because this is the first time on this program in 5.5 years that we've had someone with a particular role that Deb fills. And so for those of you who know, don't yell out, don't call us or anything like that, because we're going to find out after Deb's song selection, which is the Fray, How to Save a Life. Is that a special song or a favourite, Deb?
It's a favourite. I just really love it.
Terrific.
Yeah, I have fairly eclectic music taste, as you'll see by my choices today.
Let's enjoy. Yeah.
Step one, you say we need to talk. He walks, you say sit down, it's just a talk. He smiles politely back at you. You stare politely right on through. Some sort of window to your right. As he goes left and you stay right. Between the lines, fear and blame. You begin to wonder why you came. Where did I go wrong? I lost a friend somewhere along in the bitterness that I put out. Stayed up with you all night. And I know how to save a life. Let him know best, 'cause after all you do know best. Try to slip past his defense without granting innocence. Lay down a list of what is wrong, things you told him all along. Pray to God he hears you.
And you're here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 with Bruce Argyle and our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. As you Well, if you're a regular listener, you know that we have very interesting people on here, and this week is no different. And my very special guest via Zoom is Deb Kotick. And Deb, wonderful to have you with us. As I've said, if you missed the introduction, people, Deb's just moved here to the Yarra Valley about a month or so ago. I haven't told you yet what she does, but let's just take a sneak preview into what Deb might have been doing in the past. Deb, because a little birdie told me that, in fact, it had something to do with prisons. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. What? I've been to prison in Victoria, I have, Bruce, and most recently I worked quite a lot in two of them.
Wow. So, to me, as soon as I say that, it sounds scary. I think, I don't think that's something I'd be very comfortable with. And I'm just wondering, is it scary? That's the first question, Deb. And maybe you could just share with us, before we talk about what you do now, what was sort of the most challenging parts of that, and what were the most rewarding? And I'm assuming there were some rewards there.
Bruce, there was a lot of rewards. I actually loved being in the prisons. I don't think I ever felt scared. And that's partly to do with the fact that you're in an environment where there's so much security and cameras around you that, you know that anyway. But also because I just find people in prison, in terms of the men that are in prison, because I worked primarily in male prisons, are just people. And I enjoyed talking to them, and I enjoyed... felt very privileged with the kind of role I had in the prisons.
Yes, it would have been, I imagine, quite a, trust would be a really important thing, and confidentiality and building relationships.
Definitely, that was the basis of what you do. And, of course, this is all underpinned by structures of power that operate in prisons. So, it's being able to get alongside people and develop relationships and trusting relationships with them is the challenge of the role that I was in, and I really loved it.
Mm. How many years were you doing that, Deb?
6 years.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. And if we were to just sort of talk about justice, I mean, at the heart of the prison system is you know, hopefully a justice system. Any sort of reflections on that for yourself?
Look, it's a hard one because they haven't told anybody what I do yet, so that does make it a little bit difficult. Justice to me, I feel when people go to prison, they're being punished. Society is punishing them for what they have done wrong, and that's a necessary part of the process. Sometimes within prisons, people it's such a punitive and harsh environment at times for people that it makes it difficult.
I admit to being a bit of a John Grisham fan, Deb, just finished one of John Grisham's books, and I have a daughter who is a solicitor, and so sort of played around the edges of justice and social justice has always been an important part of my life. But Deb, overall, would you say that it's a system that, well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, is it a system that is working? Is it something we could do a lot better? Are the parts of it that you feel are letting, you know, people in prison down?
Yes, I do. There are parts that need to be improved and change. There's no doubts about that. And in particular, I guess I'm no longer connected with the Department of Justice, so I can be a little bit more open. The places I found most difficult for me were management units, but solitary confinement.
Yes.
In particular, long-term solitary confinement. You know, I used to go and visit men that had been in solitary for years, and I'm not talking about 1 or 2 years, but a number of years. And
I can't even imagine what that would be like for either the inmate or for yourself as a visitor.
I loved going in there. It was for me, it was an important part of what I did, because I was one of the few faces that they would get to talk to that wasn't an officer, because I wasn't an officer.
Yes.
So, you know, when you lock people up for a long time like that, they end up with mental health problems. They also struggle with issues around injustice. So their ability to be able to accept and move on and forgive and grow from something, you know, often people get sense of anger and feel vengeful and feel they are being treated unjustly. So it's not a therapeutic environment to be in solitary. Yeah, and I know there's a lot of research around the world that indicates that management units are not good places in the prison system. Mm. So that's just my view of it.
No, and thank you. Thank you, Deb. I'll catch you off there and just say that, listeners, you're listening to Deb Kotick, and I've been a bit cheeky because I haven't told you what Deb is doing now, but I promise I'll do that after this next song, which Deb is Lauren Daigle, Trust in You.
Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. It's not a day yet you have not seen us. So in all things be my life and bread. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less.
And you with Bruce Argyle here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. And my very special guest this morning via Zoom is Deb Kotick. And Deb, I promised I'd tell our listeners what you are doing. You are the new minister at the Uniting Church Yarra Ranges here in the Yarra Valley. Welcome. It's wonderful to have you in the valley in your new role. And we've been talking a lot about justice just a moment ago and the background you've had in the prison system. And I can therefore assume that you were some kind of chaplain, were you, back there?
I was. Can I also add, Bruce, though, that I'm also the minister at Yarra Glen and Wandon Seville churches as well, just in
case. Yes, people. Thank you. And yeah. So, of course, that what we call the Yarra Ranges Parish includes those includes those places, which is really important.
I was a chaplain in prison chaplaincy for the last 6 years.
Yes, fantastic. Yeah. And the Uniting Church, for those who do know the Uniting Church a little more, would hopefully know that it's really big on social justice, and that's a really important tenet of what the Uniting Church is about. Would that be safe to say that, Deb?
Yes, I certainly would like to think so. I think we're one of the largest, if not the largest, provider of welfare social services in the state.
Yes, in fact, in the whole country, I think, Deb, I was reading that the largest provider of non-government services and community and health services in Australia.
And we have, you know, we're underpinned by social justice, so we have a commitment to working in areas that are around justice.
Yes, fantastic. So, for those of you who don't know, I did a little bit of research this week, and the Uniting Church was formed way back in June 1977, and it was the result of the amalgamation between Methodist churches, Congregational churches, and about two-thirds of the Presbyterian churches at the time, and it came together as one entity. Deb,
yes.
I wasn't in the country at the time, but I assume that was quite a big thing back then.
Well, it was, and I think it was quite a forward-thinking way of going. It certainly took a long time to come to the agreement, but it was a way where those churches realised they were all doing the same thing and how they could actually work together in union. So it was a very proactive and positive step, I believe.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's roll forward. You've just been here in this new role for only about a month, I think, if that. And Deb, first impressions, are we allowed to ask you that?
Of course, you're allowed to ask me anything, Bruce. I'm really loving it. I'm loving the people. I'm loving the place. And I'm starting to get a little bit of a deeper understanding about how the church here has been operating and what people and how the people look to the church and what they're hoping for from their connection to the church.
Yeah, fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm getting a bit of an overview of I suppose, the church's role in the community here out at Healesville and surrounds and opportunities for further connection and collaboration.
I know we won't have time to talk about it today, but I know HICI is an initiative that does amazing work. An organisation that does amazing work, and that is an activity, an initiative of I think seven of the Christian churches in Healesville. And for those of you who are interested, the AGM for HICI is on this Sunday at 3 o'clock via Zoom. If you want to participate in that and find out more about HICI, I'm going to give Deb's email address, which is minister@healesville.com.au, if you want details of the HICI.
No, that's not it.
Oh, is that the wrong one? I'm sorry.
You've got half and half. It's minister@healesville.victas, so V-I-C-T-A-S. .uca.org.au.
Oh, there you go. You better say that one more time.
minister@healesville.victas.uca.org.au.
Great. Thanks very much, Deb. Sorry about that, listeners. And Deb, as you go into this role at the moment, as I said, we won't focus on HICI this morning, but people are under pressure. We've already talked at the introduction about the challenges of the current pandemic and being locked down and all of that sort of stuff. Last week we launched the Lyrebird College, well, not officially yet, but an amazing college that's being set up in Coldstream. And I know that's of interest to you as well. Yes. But there's lots of things going on. There's lots of pressures on people, on the community, on relationships, on workplace changes and all sorts of, well, 2020, I guess we just say, is such a different year and the pressures are different. Any just immediate thoughts as we talk about, you know, the challenges of these times?
I suppose immediate thoughts that come into my mind is the need for us to stay connected to each other and to find different ways to do that. I think we're blessed in this day and age that we do have social media, that we do have technology, so there is multiple ways that we can connect with each other as a community. It's not just by phone, and thank goodness it's not just by post, because... that'd be a problem, wouldn't it? So, one of the things I'm thinking for people's mental health and their sense of hope, it's about having someone to talk to. One of the things the people that I speak to, they miss is that opportunity to gather with friends, to visit each other, to have a coffee down the road together. And those are the things that we miss, particularly for people that are living on their own. And then you've got families that, they've got a lot of people in the one place, and kids without having the outlets they normally would have to expend energy and socialise with their friends. So we're in a very strange world, and there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of pressure. And, it's part of that being connected. It's part of finding a sense of peace in other ways too. I guess for me, I'm someone who finds a lot of my connection with spirituality in nature. So taking time to spend time outdoors, to look, to see, to smell, to feel, to use our senses to experience the world in different ways. They're all ways that help us with stress, as is exercise, getting out in the fresh air and walking, or do a writing, or do whatever it is that you do during the time that we can, is another way that brings down stress, makes us feel better. I find from what I'm reading, a lot more people are looking into their spirituality. They're finding that need for connection with something at a deeper level as a sense of meaning. You know, for me, spirituality is how we look for meaning in life, whether that is through our religious faith, through nature, through creativity, through relationships, connecting with that and tapping into that.
Fantastic. You're listening to Deb Kotick. And Deb, there's lots we could explore there. We'll get a chance after the next song to pick up on a couple of those thoughts. This is, I think this is one of my songs, actually, so I'm not going to put this on you, Deb. This is I'll Stand By You. It's The Pretenders.
So sad, a tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me now. But don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through, 'cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, nothing you confess could make me love you less. I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you. Won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you. So, if you're mad, what you got to hide? I get angry too.
and you're with Bruce Argyle. With 3 months to go until Christmas Eve today, the 24th of September. That's a bit scary, isn't it? And I'm sure that you, like me, are hoping that we can somehow get through all of this and have what we might call a normal Christmas or something. And just so looking forward to catching up with members of family. I have a little grandson, my first grandson, born last Tuesday that, well, sadly, I'm not going to see for a little while, I suspect, apart from a couple of pictures. That's a bit tough, Deb, not being able to see your family, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I've got two grandkids too, both in Western Australia, one who's, I think, 3 or 4 months old, I haven't seen yet. So,
yeah.
Not easy.
It, I know I'm certainly not going to pretend I'm a mental health expert, Deb, but this extended lockdown does play havoc with our psyche, doesn't it? It does cause us to, well, I suppose, have doubts and have conflicting thoughts about where we're heading and what we're doing, and perhaps at times we feel pretty hopeless about things.
Yes, that's quite true. And, you know, a lot of people find it very easy to tip into feeling a bit low in their spirits, you know, a bit depressed. People tend to get a lot more anxious than they used to. And, you know, they don't quite know how to manage that.
So is in your experience, is that something that is closely linked with, shall we say, a sense of a loss of supports and a loss of connections with family and friends and support groups and organisations and all of that?
Yes, it is. It's also, I think, very much connected with the world that we live in today, Bruce. We live in a fairly fast-moving world. So people have always got pressure on them. I think at the current stage of COVID-19, we're in a state where we feel powerless. We don't know what's going on. There's a lot of uncertainty. When will this all come to an end? You know, and we can't do anything about it. So that is creating some anxiety.
Yes.
And things are not as we had them before. Everything's very different. Mental health is a key part to people's well-being and to their contribution to life. I've got a strong love of working with people in the mental health area, and I guess my main experience has been in acute mental health as opposed to, you know, mental health that you or I might be feeling when we struggle in the current situation.
Right. So more... which we say, well, as you say, acute. So,
yeah, I've done a lot of work in acute settings where people have are very unwell with their mental health.
Okay, Deb, we've just lost the Zoom connection with you, but we can still hear you. So don't go away, and listeners, it doesn't make any difference to you. So we're talking with Deb Kotek and. Sorry, I should say Kotek. I've got to get that right, Deb. Deb has, well, begun here as the Yarra Rangers Minister at the Uniting Church, which takes in Wandon and Seville and Healesville and Yarra Glen and places between, and has been in this role for just about a month or so, coming on the back of some prison work and obviously experience in mental health. Deb... As you go into this role, I'm going to be really cheeky and ask you, because we don't know you so well yet, what would if I put you on the spot, what would you like people to be saying about you in, say, 2 or 3 years' time? There's a question from left field. How would people describe you? What would you like them to be saying about you in 3 years from now?
That's a really tough question for me because it's not how I tend to think. I don't like to think about what people would think of me, but more about what people would like to think about the church. Or,
yes, yes.
But bearing that in mind, you know, I'd like to think that people consider me to be very pastoral, I'd like to think that people feel that I'm someone who has listened and who has been supportive of the church and the community of connecting together and working together for the betterment of all people. I'd like to think that maybe I'm considered as being inclusive and welcoming of all, because there's a lot of relationships, community relationships that I'm keen to build, both as, you know, the minister in the Uniting Church, but also as me with people in Healesville, Wandonsville and Yarra Glen areas.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I hope people are making you feel welcome, Deb, are they?
Pardon?
I hope people in the valley are making you feel welcome after your big move from the suburbs.
Yeah, I'm getting that real country warmth out here. People are very friendly. People are warm. People are inviting. And, you know, that is lovely. It's very, very different to living in metropolitan Melbourne. It's very different.
Yes, I was out in the vineyard on Saturday. We were just doing a little bit of thinning, and all the shoots are out, and the valley is just starting to look an absolute picture. For those of us that have gardens, the flowers are out and the blossoms are there. It's just an amazing time of the year, spring, and we just wish we could get out and enjoy it a little bit more, Deb.
Yeah, we do. And but you know, I sit here in my little study and I look out, and yesterday I had this incredible king parrot sitting on the veranda right in front of me, you know. I look out my kitchen window and I've got little New Holland honey eaters jumping around on the banks here. So, you know, everywhere I look, I see beauty and wonder, and that's extraordinarily special and nurturing. And one of the positive things for me during lockdown, and I guess I can be a bit of an introvert, so I don't mind my own company, but is that I actually can spend some time noticing things rather than being so busy that I don't notice the little things.
That's fantastic. And look, before we go to our next song, just for a slight touch of humour, for those of you who've come to expect that from me, I saw a great sign the other day on someone's green wheelie bin, and it in big letters had on their green rubbish bin, "Welcome to 2020, the year my bin went out more than I did." Let's have a song. It's "This Is Me" by Kiala Settle.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send the blood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I'm meant to be, this is me. Look out, 'cause here I come, and I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen, I make no apologies. This is me. I'm
gonna cut me down. I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown them out. This is brave, this is bruised, this is who I'm meant to be, this is me.
And after the 11 o'clock news this morning, we have Luke Sinclair from the Sticky Institute and together with Cora interviewing Natalie Blom all the way from Perth. Amazing what we can do via Zoom on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 these days, isn't it? We have next week, Megan Buntine will be back travelling all the way around Queensland and New South Wales. We're very envious of her, but she will be back with us next Thursday morning. But for this morning, my very special guest has been Deb Kotick. And Deb, we've been talking about, well, all sorts of things, about prisons, about mental health, about chaplaincy, about Yarra Rangers Uniting Church. I'm just wondering, tips on mental health. We talked a little bit about that. We don't have much time left, but if you could just give us one or two, well, tips, encouragement, or anything like that that you think are good for us in these challenging times.
Well, as I said before, Bruce, I think it's really important to connect with each other, to, you know, to ring your friends, to ring your family, or FaceTime them, or Zoom them, or whatever, so that you're checking in with each other. That's really important, that social connectedness. I think, you know, exercise is a really good thing to get out there. Exercise naturally releases all those positive chemicals and hormones that help your mood be elevated. So that's a really important thing to do, as well as just making you feel better about yourself, your own self-esteem. Things like eating healthily, that makes a difference too, because, you know, otherwise we just feel, well, groggy and gluggy, I guess, when we eat badly and we feel bad about ourselves. So doing all those just physical health things are important. Other things that are important is about trying to keep a positive attitude. You know, one of the things that I like to do, and I do it every night now, is because I'm a minister, I'm a Christian, I like to thank God. And what I do is I try and think of three blessings in my day, three good things about my day that I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I find really positive. I like to wake up in the morning and sort of say and have a positive view about the day. Those are little things you can do to make your mood feel better.
Terrific.
And I think if you are feeling down, you need to go and see your doctor. You need to get help. If you're feeling really low or really stressed, get help. Don't hesitate.
And you mentioned the importance of making connections, Deb. I'm just wondering, in the couple of minutes we have left, how are you connecting with people in these challenging times? I mean, obviously people can't meet in large groups in churches or communities or whatever. So how are you connecting at the moment?
Well, at the moment I've lists of people's phone numbers. So I ring people up to say hello, to introduce myself, to check in on some people I know that might be struggling. People contact me often just for a chat or to let me know about other people that might need a call. I'll FaceTime people. I attend little group Zoom sessions. At the moment, we have a little social catch-up session once a week where people come together on Zoom and bring their artwork or their craft work or their pets and a cup of coffee and just have a chat amongst themselves. We have church once a week, so that's recorded on a Thursday, and we have that then playing on Sunday for people so they can participate and feel that they're part of a service. I also do a little bulletin, a little e-bulletin that I try and send out once a fortnight that has a little bit of a chat from me, any general bits of news that I need to have passed on about things that might be coming up, you know, opportunities, Zoom seminars, whatever. And then also I'll have a little bit of scripture and maybe a prayer or something as well for people. So it just connects me with people, and I make sure that I'm really available. So I encourage people to email me, to phone me anytime, because I'm here, and, you know, that's what my role is.
Fantastic.
I want to be available and accessible.
And Deb, you're not going to believe this, as we talked at the beginning of the hour today, how quickly time would go, and that's exactly what's happened this morning.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, could you just give us a phone number or a contact point for people who might be interested in having a conversation with you?
Probably the easiest way to do is to just ring the Healesville Church, because but all those calls come straight through to me. And the number there is 5962 4128.
So that's 5962 4128. If you'd like to have a conversation with Deb or find out what the Uniting Church in the Yarra Ranges is doing.
And Bruce, can I just add, to tell people, you know, that you know, despite how difficult things are right now, this time will pass. You know, we will get through this. So, you know, just hold on to that. Don't just get dragged into this moment. Realise that this will pass.
That's very sage words, Deb. You've been listening to Deb Kotick. Thank you so much, Deb, for being our very special guest this morning. And listeners, thank you for being a part of the conversation. And we'll look forward to your company again next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you. Bye.